Take your Bibles tonight and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Thank you so much for your encouraging words about the message this morning, and I hope that it will be a continual help to us, a foundation for us, that the more we know God, the more it changes everything in our life. And it really is a foundational message as to how we live our lives as Christians, not just doing religious things, doing church deeds, and fulfilling obligations, but out of the overflow of our knowledge of God and our love for God, we live for Him. And tonight we're turning to a New Testament text in a very powerful book in the New Testament. The book of 2 Timothy is the last book that Paul, the apostle, ever wrote. He is writing to his young disciple in the faith, his beloved Timothy. Timothy was a special person to Paul, and we have two books, 1 and 2 Timothy, which are two of what are called pastoral epistles. And there is special emphasis, I believe, for anyone who is in the ministry in these books. But as you know, all scripture is given by inspiration, which is a verse we're going to see here in just a moment. And so there's application for everyone, whether you are a preacher or not, there's application for us in the book of 2 Timothy. Paul is in prison, once again in Rome. Shortly after he writes this book, the book of 2 Timothy, he is martyred. He becomes a martyr. He's beheaded because he is an apostle. Isn't it interesting that God took a man who used to be persecuting Christians and made him a preacher to Christians, and he became the martyr, the very type of person he was creating even when he held the coats of those who stoned Stephen, and now God radically changes his life, and at the end of his life, now he's giving his life for the cause of Christ. That's what I call radical conversion. He was radically changed by the power of the gospel. So this is a special book because it's Paul's last letter, and he's writing to his young disciple in the faith. And I want to challenge you tonight in the way that Paul challenged Timothy. I believe the main theme of the book of 2 Timothy is faithfulness. Faithfulness. Be faithful. And there are so many wonderful texts that we could go to, but we're going to look at chapter 3, because in chapter 3, I believe Paul gives us some significant help, significant realities to remember in order to be faithful. Realities that we need to remember in order to be faithful. You know, as I've traveled across the country and been in church after church and met many, many people, I have noticed that over the years, it is harder and harder to find people that are just faithful, steady, reliable, consistent. Can I just say tonight, one of the reasons I enjoy being around Pastor Craig Scott is because he's been faithful. I hope you love your pastor. I hope you appreciate your pastor. I have known him for many years, and I think it's been 30 years now, you told me this morning, right? 30 years right here at Woodside Baptist Church. That is commendable. That is faithfulness. Now, I know he's not perfect, and I know he's a sinner saved by grace, but aren't you thankful for a faithful pastor? You see, faithfulness is proved not over days and months, but years. Years of steadiness. Years of consistency. I appreciate that about my friend Pastor Hamilton as well, who's here tonight. And I could say that about a number of pastor friends that I've met over the years. And I hope that that could be said about me, that I'm reliable and consistent and steady and faithful. And that's the idea of faithfulness. Well, I think that we would all agree that the writer of this text was a very faithful apostle. And yet he was concerned as he was about to die, as he's about to go to heaven, and he's leaving behind a young disciple, a young man who he had mentored in the ministry. And he was concerned that Timothy would give in to the looseness of the world, that he would give in to the liberal philosophies of the church, that he would not stay true. And maybe because Timothy was not quite as bold, maybe because he was a little bit shy and even sickly, we read about in the scripture, maybe he knew he needed to have a letter to remind him to be faithful. And so in chapter 3, I believe Paul shares with us, in under inspiration here, some realities of life as a Christian. Realities of life as a Christian that we must remember. You will never be faithful unless you remember these realities. 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 10. We read in the first three verses, specifically, the first reality that every Christian needs to remember if they're going to be faithful. Verse 10 says this, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions." Let me stop for just a moment. This is total discipleship. It's living your life in front of other people so that they can see the realness, the sincerity of your faith. That's what Paul did. He made himself purposefully vulnerable. He put himself out in front of Timothy and he said, look at all of this, my doctrine, my faith, my manner of life. And Timothy was living with Paul, traveling with Paul, and was discipled and mentored by this man. And yet he shows us in verse 11 the significant reality that we all need to remember. Let's keep reading in verse 11. "Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Verse 12 is a key verse. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." This is a significant point in the book of 2 Timothy and in these verses that we've read. If we are ever going to be faithful to God, faithful to His church, faithful to the gospel, we need to remember that we will be persecuted. We will face difficulties. We will be mocked. We will be ridiculed. There will be times of great pain and suffering. As a matter of fact, he says it very clearly, all that live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer. You know what that means? If you're not suffering at all, maybe you're not living the kind of godly life you should be living. Nobody wants suffering. That would be ridiculous. Nobody is hoping to be persecuted. That's absurd. But here's the truth. You stand for God. You speak the truth. You're steady and faithful with God's word in your life, your family, your ministry, and your Christian experience. And you're going to face obstacles. Sometimes that's in the form of pain and suffering and trials. Sometimes it's in the form of people and relationships and problems with those people. We will face persecution. Notice in verse 11, there's three cities that are mentioned. These are cities that in the book of Acts, we find that every one of these places that he mentions are places where he was seriously persecuted. Left for dead, stoned. These are the three cities, Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. Lystra was Timothy's home. That's where he grew up. He would have surely known about what Paul faced in Lystra. Stoned, a plot to stone him and kill him and literally murder the apostle. That happened in Timothy's hometown. You know, I am convinced that what the church needs to experience today is a little bit of suffering so that we will stand and be bold and courageous for God. There is an encyclopedia of those who have been persecuted called Fox's Book of Martyrs. Have any of you ever read a portion of Fox's Book of Martyrs? It would do us well to read through some of the history of the church, and what you would know and what you would see as you read through the history of the church is that the life of the church today really is because of the blood of the martyrs. We are in the freedoms we have in America, we are bold to preach the gospel today because of people who have suffered before us. all that live godly shall suffer. But it's not just in church history that people are suffering. People are suffering today. Around the world especially, we have freedoms in America. And the sufferings we have pale in comparison to those people who are living in the Islamic Muslim countries especially. Who literally are waking up every day wondering if that is their moment, that is their day, where they're going to be persecuted, where they are going to die. You know, Christians today in America often are looking for a life of ease. A life with no pain. And often we use this terminology, WWJD. What would Jesus do? How many of you have ever heard that before? Okay, let me tell you what Jesus did. He suffered. He suffered. And if we are going to follow in the steps of our Savior, and may I say, follow in the steps of the apostles and all of the heroes of the faith through church history, then we must realize that in order to be faithful, we need to recognize and remember that we will be persecuted. I might be talking to some people here tonight, and the truth is, you are an outcast in your family. Maybe you're the only one that's a follower of Jesus, and when you're around your family, you feel out of place, and they mistreat you, and they may even mock you. That's a little bit of persecution. And all that live godly will suffer persecution. Maybe I'm looking at some people here tonight, and in your workplace, you're trying to speak out, you're trying to do the right thing, and yet you have coworkers that literally mock you and laugh at you and think you're crazy. This could be happening in your life. Maybe there's a young person in a public school or in your neighborhood, and you're facing some persecution, some laughter because you faithfully go to church. These are situations that we're going to continue to face. And I think as American society continues to be anti-God and anti-Bible, that we as a church need to be ready for more persecution. And if we are going to be faithful to God, we need to remember anybody who has ever done anything great for God has suffered greatly. So just be ready for it. Why is this so important? Because often when pain and suffering comes into our lives, people quit. I've seen people quit. Pastor, have you seen people quit when it gets hard? You see, when it gets tough, when it gets rough, the tough keep going. You gotta have thick skin. You have to have a tough hide. You got to realize that sometimes the very people who love you, that you love and that you serve, sometimes are the ones that hurt you back. And Paul said, the more abundantly I love others, the less I'm loved. You see, when you serve God and you're faithful, not everybody is going to like you. Not everybody's going to love you. You will suffer persecution. Jesus said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And I'm challenging you tonight because some of you may be on the verge of unfaithfulness. You might be on the verge of quitting. You might be on the verge of thinking, well, if that's going to happen, it's not worth it. And I say to you, faithfulness will be in your life when you remember you will be persecuted. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. This is the first reality. Here's the goal. Be faithful. Here's the command. Be faithful. This is what God wants for our lives. But you can't be faithful over years, having a longevity in life as a Christian and life in ministry. You cannot be faithful unless you remember you will be persecuted. Now let's notice the second reality, and it's found in verse 13. Very significant to remember. Remember these realities. Number one, you will be persecuted. Number two, the world is getting worse. The world is getting worse. Amazing that this is written hundreds of years ago, and it's almost as if he was writing in our culture. He was writing in our day. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Folks, if we're going to be faithful in our culture and in the church today, we need to remember the world's not getting better, it's getting worse. It was described very well in Paul's day. Chapter 3, starting in verse 1, notice how he describes the situation. Notice how he describes what will happen in the culture. And I think this is a repeated thing in different cultures and civilizations. Chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days, the days up until the time of Jesus Christ is what I believe the last days is referring to, which means he was living in the last days and we are too, because the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh and it's imminent. It could come at any moment. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Question, do you see all of those characteristics in American culture today? Do you see many of these characteristics not only in the contemporary culture, but even in the contemporary church? A form of godliness, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God? This is not only being seen in the culture and the society at large, but it is sadly being seen in entire Christian ministries across entire denominations and in the Church of America. It's almost like he was writing in our day. And folks, when the world is getting worse, we as Christians must be doing as the songwriter said, I'm stepping on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day to higher ground. So as the world is sliding down into more worldliness, we as Christians should be stepping forward into more godliness. This is a warning that Paul was giving to Timothy. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Look at chapter 2, verse 4. Chapter 2, verse 4. And notice how he warns Timothy about the corruption and the worldliness around him. He says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And even in chapter 4, he reminds Timothy of another young man who forsook the Lord. He was not faithful. And may I say to you, this is exactly what motivates me every day with the college students that we have on our campus. It's that there's this opportunity of faithfulness. We don't want to see them desert the faith. We don't want to see them become rebels against God. But here's a young man in chapter 4 named Demas, and it says Demas forsook the Lord because he loved the world. He loved this present age. And it is so easy to just be shortly behind the wickedness of the world. As a Christian, it is so easy to become worldly in our lifestyle and worldly in our choices. And yet the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but it is of the world. We are in the world, but we are not what? Of the world. We are God's people, pilgrims and strangers on this earth. And so this is a healthy warning for us that we can be faithful, but we need to be faithful, remembering we shouldn't be surprised when heathens live like heathens. We shouldn't be so discouraged and despondent and sometimes kind of have this doomsday attitude about the world. Well, God has left America behind and there's no hope for revival. Listen, there's always hope with God. And yet we look around and it is getting worse. I mean, you think about even just what we see on television these days. We've come a long way from the Andy Griffith show, where you could turn on your television on most nights in America many years ago and you could actually have a family program. No longer is that the case these days. Now the agenda is very aggressive. It's against God, it's against family, it's against marriage, it's against us as believers. And we have come a long way, even in just the entertainment society. Listen, folks, it's going to get worse. Just expect it. Perilous, dangerous times have come. And not only is he talking about the world or the society, but he's also talking about the church. But because look at verse 13 again. There are these terms, these specific terms, which refer to religious leaders, evil men and seducers. This is a direct reference to false teachers, deceivers, charlatans, fakes. And may I say, if you're spending much time watching Christian television, you're probably viewing quite a few of them. Evil men and seducers. There are wonderful pastors and preachers all across this country, but you better be cautious who you listen to. There are so many people who are propagating a false gospel, who are propagating false teaching that we should separate from, that we should come out from, because they're disobedient to God and His truth. And it's getting worse and worse. One of the most deceptive things in our country right now is what's called the prosperity gospel. It is being propagated by a very popular teacher from Texas. You know his name, Joel Osteen. And he has a book out there called Your Best Life Now. Think about that. No, your best life is later. Not now. It's a false gospel to teach people that if you come to Jesus, believe on Jesus, your life is going to always be fine and great. What about Jesus? He didn't have a place to lay his own head. Jesus was persecuted. Jesus was mocked. He did not have a life of ease. Am I any greater than my master? It's a false gospel to teach the prosperity gospel. It is important that we know the truth and we let the truth penetrate through our lives so much that we are discerning Christians. That we don't just accept something from a religious leader because they claim to be telling us the truth, but we're Berean Christians and we search the scriptures to see if it is so. So the false teaching is raging, the corruption of the cultures around us, but we can be faithful. You can be faithful. This church can be faithful. We need to be faithful by remembering that we will be persecuted. Number two, the world is getting worse. There's only one hope for the world, and it's not better government, it's the gospel. So don't back up, don't slack up, don't pack up. But continue to stand for God, speak His truth, be faithful. Be faithful at this church. Be faithful in your home. Be faithful in this community. God wants to use you. But you need to be faithful by remembering these realities. Let's notice reality number 3 in verse 14. You will be persecuted. The world is getting worse. Number 3, you can persevere. You can continue in the things which you have learned. Verse 14 says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. This is a wonderful verse that reminds us to always have an optimistic attitude about our faithfulness. Don't be pessimistic. Well, it's too hard. Well, I can't make it. No, with God's help and His grace and His Spirit on your life, you can and you must remain, that's the word here, to continue, to remain, to abide, to stay with the things that you have learned. This is where real faithfulness is proven. It's over time, over years of saying the truth and living the truth and faithfully continuing in those things. It's interesting in verse 14, he shows us two ways that this continuing occurs. How can we continue? We can continue, first of all, when we are confident in what we believe. We continue when we are confident in what we believe. Notice how he says this in verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Notice this. And hast been assured of. The reason people desert the truth is because they're not confident in the truth many times. I like to say it this way. Doubting Christians are drifting Christians. Doubting Christians are drifting Christians. Now, to go back to what we talked about this morning, this is why it is absolutely crucial that we are building our lives on proper theology, proper salvation teaching, proper bibliology, and we could mention all the different theologies. But starting with the character of God, moving to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to the consistency and reliability of the Bible, we are confident in what we believe. And people who are confident in what they believe and are absolutely assured of it will stick with it. So I want to challenge everyone that is here tonight. Don't just check your brain at the church door and sit down and soak. But you need to be a student of the Bible. You need to know your Bible well. As Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God. This is a concern of mine for the young people that come our way, that we continue to build on the faith that they believe, and that we continue to articulate the reasoning behind what we believe, so that by the time they are independent and they are starting their own household in their own families, they will stick with the truth because they are absolutely confident it's true. We continue in the things which we have learned when we are confident that they're true and we are assured of them. But notice there's a significant point to be made at the end of verse 14. Not only can we continue when we are confident in what we believe, but we continue when we remember the people who taught us. Remember the people who have taught you. Now, there's a lot of application here, I think, for many of us who have been fortunate and blessed of God to grow up in a family that taught us. That's the way Timothy was. From a child, the next verse says, from a child, he knew the Holy Scriptures. We don't know much about his father. He was a Greek, most likely. Not much is said about his father, but what we know is he had a godly mother and grandmother who from the earliest age taught him the scripture. So I think there's clear application for any of us who have grown up in a Christian home. You better stay with the truth because you need to remember mom and dad. What did they teach you? May I just challenge all the boys and girls, all the young people. God has blessed you. If you are even here on this Sunday night, God has blessed you with a wonderful family that cares about you and loves you enough to bring you to church on a Sunday night. That's a blessing. Don't take it for granted. Remember your parents. Remember what they taught you. I'm telling our young people at college, before you ever go against anything your parents have taught you, if they're Christians and they've raised you in a Christian home, you better do due diligence and have great confidence before you ever do anything that they don't want you to do. And most likely, the parents had good reasons for what they were asking you to do. And so I'm pushing them back to remember their parents and to honor their parents. But there's also application here, not only for our parents, which is the application that Paul gave to Timothy, but there's also application because Paul was the apostle training this young man. So there's application for our pastors, our youth pastors, our Sunday school teachers, or any other Bible college teacher or professor that impacted our life. It could be application for some friend or older servant of God who mentored us and befriended us and challenged us. And I think Paul especially is referring to his own life here. Remember, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Paul was one of those people. And how terrible it would be for you to sit in this church year after year after year, and then all of a sudden you decide you're not going to stick with it. You need to think about what Pastor Scott has preached to you. You need to think about all the preachers who have passed through this place and remember their faithfulness, which will encourage you to be faithful. So we can persevere. This is what gives me great hope for the next generation. We can persevere. It's possible to teach the truth, live the truth, exemplify the truth, and to see more young people and more people following in the ways of God. That's the hope that we have. So we can be faithful when we remember these realities. You will be persecuted. The world is getting worse. You must and you can persevere. And finally, reality number four, you can't do it without the power of the Word of God. This is reality number four. Follow this. You will be persecuted. The world is getting worse. You can persevere, but you can't do it without God's word. And this is what he says in verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And notice verse 1 of chapter 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Folks, do you realize that the preaching of many churches has been turned into an art and entertainment, an exercise and education, but there's really no inspiration if we don't cling to the word. And there's no power. The power is in what has already revealed. And the preacher's job is to take what's already there and say it in a way that is understandable and, yes, sometimes creative, but we need to say what's already there because it's the word that has the power. And it's interesting that Paul is challenging Timothy not only in his personal life, but in his public ministry to make much of the Bible. Because the Bible is good for us, he says. It's profitable. One of my friends says it this way. It shows us what is right. It shows us what is wrong. It shows us how to get it right. And it shows us how to keep it right. God's word is sufficient for us. For every area of life and godliness. Psalm 119 verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not, what? Sin against God. The psalmist David said, O how love I thy law, it is my meditation all of the day. The prophet Jeremiah said, thy word was found, and I did eat it. And it became unto me the joy and rejoicing of my soul. Hebrews 4 verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, dividing, asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Folks, God's word matters. This is why we read it. This is why we memorize it. This is why we meditate on it. And most importantly, this is why we ought to obey God's word. Because God's word is the power for our faithfulness. You cannot be faithful unless you remember the power of the Word of God. The maturity, the growth, the change that comes into our lives is when we renew our minds. We put off the old man, we renew our minds, and we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way to renew our minds is to have truth. Truth that is taught to us in this pulpit, from this platform, and in the classes of this church. Truth that is taught to us in our personal, private, devotion life when we read the Bible and we get stirred and we pull out another book to help us to see some of the words or some of the helpful things we can learn from that passage, or a study Bible, and we're serious students of the Word of God so that we can be faithful not only for days and weeks and months, but for a lifetime. This morning I met a couple guys in this church who are Marines. Does this mean anything to you? Semper Fidelis. Semper Fidelis. That's a phrase that the Marines know well, always faithful. And that's what God is looking for. God wants us to be that way, but we can't be that way if we forget these truths. Paul revealed these truths to Timothy. I am just passing them on to us as a church here tonight, that we would remember that this is the goal that God has for us, that when we die and when we meet our Lord, that we might hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And yet, it's hard to find people who are faithful to their church. Faithful to the word. faithful to their family. And most importantly, it's hard to find people that are steady and faithful in their walk with God. This is what God longs for. And so we're not just talking about the theory and the hope of faithfulness. We're talking about specific truth that we need to remember. So when you're struggling with rebellion, when you're struggling with unfaithfulness, when you're struggling and about to go your own way, you remember these realities. Paul gave them to Timothy so that when he would die and he's in heaven, Timothy would continue. Timothy would stay faithful. And we have this opportunity as well. Remember, you will be persecuted. Remember, the world is getting worse. You can persevere, but you can't do it without the Word of God. May God help us. May God help you as a church to be faithful all the way to the end. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Lord, I pray tonight that you would truly inspire us with this text of Scripture, that we would be faithful Christians. Lord, that we would be consistent and steady in our relationship with you. Lord, we know we all make mistakes. We all fall. A just man falls 7 times and rises up again. But Lord, I pray tonight for some who may be having or experiencing a little discouragement in their life because they have been living for themselves for a number of months, maybe even years, and they realize that they're really not faithful. They're not that consistent in their Christian life. Lord, help us to remember these truths. Help us to commit ourselves to faithfulness tonight. Maybe somebody's being persecuted and they're wondering, is it really worth it? Maybe someone is facing the corruption and the worldliness which is pulling on us all. But maybe someone's given in and they're really going the way of the world. They're becoming more worldly. Lord, there may be a number of people here tonight who need to get more serious about their Bible study, realizing that there's no hope for faithfulness without the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that we remember the people who have taught us and be confident in the things which we have learned and be assured of those truths so that we will persevere all the way till that day when you take us to be with you or when our life is taken. Lord, help us to always be faithful. Would you please change us tonight and help us by your grace to live in the decisions that we make tonight. Through your Spirit, through your Word, we can leave this place different and changed. And I pray that good decisions will be made tonight for the sake of your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.